Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Every year on Maundy Thursday, we rightly celebrate the institution of that new supper in the body and blood of Jesus, the new testament in his blood that he instituted on that night of his betrayal. In fact, for us, for sacramental churches in general, this is the highlight of Maundy Thursday. Not that we forget the Garden of Gethsemane, not that we forget the betrayal of Judas or the denial of Peter or any of the other things that happened that night, but this event, this institution is the center and focus for us. This new supper takes over for the old Passover. It is the fulfillment, the thing that the Old Testament Passover was foreshadowing all along with its lamb, with its blood, with its sacrifice, with its protection against the destroying angel, with the meal that followed for God's people. This is the supper that takes over for the Passover so that we don't need to ever celebrate an Old Testament Passover again because we have that which was being foreshadowed by the Old Testament. But our gospel this evening doesn't neglect another thing that happened on that Maundy Thursday evening in that same upper room. After the First Supper, probably the Old Testament Passover part of it, and before the New Supper, the institution of the Lord's Supper after it, we have this account of Jesus washing his disciples' feet, where we see the love and the humility and the servant heart of Jesus on full display. John tells us that Jesus knew his hour had come, finally. It hadn't come 3.5 years earlier at the wedding at Cana when he told his mother, "Woman, what is between you and me? My hour has not yet come." It wasn't come yet either at those times when the Jews wanted to kill him, to put him to death before Holy Week. His hour had not yet come, John says, over and over until now, when his hour had come. And soon, already in this upper room in Jerusalem, his soul would be troubled and sorrowful. But before that happened, as the Old Testament Passover part came to the end, John tells us that Jesus was thinking about something else. He was thinking about how he had come from the Father, how the Father had placed all things into his hand, how he was just about to leave this world and return to the Father. And he was thinking about his great love for his disciples. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them until the end. He would demonstrate that love throughout this long night and the next day. He would teach his disciples some final teachings. That was love. He would pray for his disciples and for us who would believe through their preaching. That was love. He would warn his disciples about falling into temptation. That was love. He would ask for them to be let go as the guards came to take him away. He would not stop Judas from betraying him or defend himself before the Jews or before Pilate. He would not save himself and get down from the cross. That was love. But see how John highlights this other act of love that Jesus performed on that night, something only John records in his gospel. He got up from supper, set aside his good clothes, put on a towel, poured some water, got down on his knees, and washed his disciples' feet and wiped them with the towel that he was wearing around himself. Of all the pictures we have of Jesus during Holy Week, isn't this one strange? I suppose it isn't strange at all, really. As Jesus said not long before this, The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is known in the prophet Isaiah as the servant of the Lord. He came to serve sinners in humility and love. His service was genuine because his love was genuine. He really put his disciples ahead of himself, not only in his actions, but also in his heart. When we remember that Jesus came from the Father and was returning to the Father, and that the Father had given all things into his hands, it makes his humility and his willingness to serve all the more amazing. There's also some context to this foot washing that John doesn't include, but that Luke does, and if you were here on Tuesday evening, you heard it. Luke tells us that during this Thursday evening meal, there was also a dispute among the disciples as to which of them should be considered the greatest. But Jesus scolded them. "He who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves." That dispute among the disciples may have taken place before Jesus washed their feet, or it may have happened shortly after, which would be all the more amazing and shameful on their part, and yet not so unfamiliar to us. While the disciples are arguing over who's the greatest, reaching for the position of honor, Jesus, the very Son of God, dishonors and humiliates himself in front of them all, not in anger, not in passive aggression, but in love, to show them the sin of their pride and how their flesh would always do this, would always shun the servant role in favor of the worship of self. Then, as Jesus serves them, he demonstrates their need to be served by him because of their sins, their need to be washed continually by God of their pride, forgiven continually by God of their self-serving nature, even though they have already been baptized and made into believing Christians, except for Judas, who, though baptized, was by this time unbelieving. But Jesus' service toward his disciples is also intended as an example, that you should do as I have done to you. This isn't about washing other people's feet, though, especially once a year, as if that were the fulfillment of what Jesus wanted his disciples to do. It's about Christian humility throughout the year. It's about Christians who claim Jesus as their Lord behaving humbly like their Lord toward one another, serving one another in meekness, even as the Lord has served us in meekness. Jesus knows that our sinful flesh doesn't want to humble itself and doesn't want to play the servant. We think by nature that we're above that kind of menial service, that we should be the ones being served by our fellow Christians instead of the other way around. Or at very least, we think it should be 50-50. I serve them and they serve me back. Parents grow weary of changing diapers and serving their children throughout their childhood years. Children feel entitled to the service of their parents and complain about the chores they have to do, rather than willingly volunteering to serve their parents or their brothers and sisters. We all think we deserve to be served. Such is our ugly, fallen nature. But here is Christ, the Lord of all, on the night in which he was betrayed, getting up, putting on a towel, and washing his disciples' feet, teaching us, first and foremost, about our desperate need to receive his service in the washing away of our sins. And then this feet washing serves to set a pattern for us of humble, loving service to one another. The love of God is fully on display on Maundy Thursday and Good Friday as Jesus humbles himself further and further and further. Let this humble servant love serve both for your comfort and for your example. And let the Holy Supper that holy servant instituted on that night serve to comfort you with the forgiveness of sins where you have failed to serve. And may it also empower and strengthen your service. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.